Welcome to the Empowerista interview series on business rock stars. I'm Alex Worley, joined by Danica Breisha, founder and CEO of Model Meals, but so much more. You have so many titles. We're going to get into all of it. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. So we were just talking before we were officially starting that you do all the things. So give us an overview of everything going on in your life right now.
Yeah. It's funny because I feel like we're in this sort of cultural time where people are juggling like a million different things. And I'm kind of curious as to how that's going to translate, but I'm hoping it's positively. It has so far. So I started as a plus size model about 9 years ago. So I'm with IMG Models and I model for brands like Target and Old Navy and all that. So I do that and I'm really proud of that because I struggled a lot with food and body as a kid and my own self-worth. And so I feel like I get to be the girl in the magazines that I didn't get to see growing up. So that's a really important component for me, especially around like body image and empowerment. And then I own a meal delivery business called Model Meals. So I'm the founder and CEO there. We serve most of California, Arizona. We're opening about 8 more states this year. So really excited. And then I do some stuff with my personal brand. So I just got back from a 10-month U.S. tour. We did 66 events for women around self-care, wellness, self-worth. So, and then I do certain sort of like online courses and stuff around self-care and wellness and manifesting and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I love that it all has a theme though, because we were talking about how, okay, what's better, to have your hand in a bunch of different things or to just stay focused on one thing? And I think what's most important, whichever route an entrepreneur chooses, is that there's a guiding force. Like there's a mission that kind of unites everything that you say yes to. And it sounds like there is for you. What would you say your mission is?
Absolutely. So I've always said my intention is to help people live fuller, happier lives. And so I think that everything I do contributes to that. The food that you eat is a direct parallel to the quality of the life experience you're going to have. It's how you feel. It's how you operate, you know? So the food and then how you think about yourself and what you say to yourself. So for me, it's all based in wellness. You know, I feel like if I usually describe it as a wellness brand, but it's really about empowering people to like step into their own power, take care of themselves, feel their best, be their best so that they can shine that light on the world, because I really feel like that's what we're here for. It's to do the self-work, tap into what lights me up, what's fun for me, what do I want to share, and then share it with the world. If we don't do that, it can be selfish sometimes, you know? Rather than thinking, so oftentimes I find that women especially think that if they, who am I to shine this light on the world? Who am I to play this big? But it's actually the opposite, right? It's the best thing that we can do is tap into our gifts and share it with the world.
Yeah, and I feel like that is really what can differentiate a brand because anyone can cook. I mean, not anyone, but you know what I mean? Like if someone has that skill, you can do that, but what's going to differentiate you? And I feel like if there's a bigger mission and heart and passion behind it, that just automatically is going to make you connect to the right people.
Absolutely. I mean, I started my meal delivery business because I changed how I ate, did something called the Whole30 and it changed my life so dramatically, the way my brain functioned. I had no idea I could feel that great. And more than that, I just had no idea that I could have that much mental clarity. And what I noticed, it became sort of a spiritual experience because I started getting clarity on how I felt in certain situations and on my relationship with food and my body and myself. And I saw that when I ate this way and I took care of myself and I practiced self-care, I was a kinder person. I put a more light-filled person into the world. Like at Starbucks, I was more engaged. I was listening. And I really remember thinking, what food can change the world? If people had nutrient-dense food and felt really good, food can change the world. And how can I make it easier for people to eat this way? And so that was how Model Meals was born.
I love it. That's so cool. And you're in an interesting position because you have both your brand as Model Meals, but then your brand as Danica Breisha. And I'm sure the two go hand in hand. I mean, you're seeing all the time household companies starting to have spokespeople or their founder or CEO is being more at the forefront. So tell me a little bit about how you differentiate the two and how they help each other.
It's a great question because it can be hard. And in the beginning, I remember when I was running both Instagram from my personal and Model Meals.
Oh, so busy, right?
It was always like, well, where does this one go? And how does this go? Yeah. What's separate? And it was confusing. But as I've grown, I've realized that Model Meals is sort of its own service. And while, you know, I do serve as the face for it often, it also can function on its own without me. Mm-hmm. Whereas a personal brand, obviously, I'm the product in most cases. So it's sort of looking at, okay, how do you scale a personal brand? How do you scale one person and allow them to reach as many people as possible, but also with the same value? And it just kind of depends on sort of whatever platform you're going to use. For me, I run my social media. So I focus on that as sort of where I tell my stories, where I share my day-to-day life. And then for Model Meals, we focus a little more on food, on business, on telling stories of our customers and other people who are aligned. So it sort of opens that net a little bit wider in that space. So they're a little bit different. I think I go a little bit more, deep on my personal Danica mm-hmm. Breischa brand just because it's a person.
And, it's personable.
Right.
Yeah.
And one of my friends, her name's Amy Jo Martin, and she has built the personal brands of like Shaquille O'Neal and Hilton Hotels and The Rock.
Oh, wow.
And her big thing was that people connect to people, not logos. And
totally.
So when I built my personal brand on my own Instagram, and that was really the bulk of it, when I built that, I remember thinking about the fact that I don't own Instagram, right? Instagram can decide to just disappear one day, and I'll have put in hours and hours and hours of
what
work.
What a sad day that would be.
Right?
Yes.
But you think about it.
No,
you know,
totally. It's true, though. I mean, think of all the changes that have happened
Absolutely.
On all the social media platforms.
Absolutely. And I remember thinking, what if that happened? What would I have to show for it? And so for me, Model Meals was this way to say, okay, I've built this work. I've built this trust with people. I've shared my story around food and how this food's changed my life. How do I provide them a service that really helps them and also have something that is separate from me and separate from Instagram, doesn't just really rely on this sort of space? I have a friend who was a Vine star, and we have this conversation a lot. She was huge on Vine, and then Vine just disappeared. Like they deleted it. And it was a really interesting conversation about, okay, here's, you know, we don't own those platforms.
Yeah, now what?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's
but
crazy.
You own Model Meals, so.
I do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I obviously. Have a business
but
partner.
Like,
yeah.
But like the idea is that, okay, you don't own Instagram. So
right.
At the end of the day, like what is yours? What are you bringing into the world?
Yeah. And you know, for me, what I love about having a personal brand is that no one can tell me I'm doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If you're yourself for a living, nobody can tell you you're doing it wrong. And that's always felt really easy to me and like very, you know, not intimidating because if I'm me for a living, then there's no way to mess that up. And I think that's like a really gentle way of building a business.
Love it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break.
Yes.
But when we come back, we're going to talk more about content on social media. So stay tuned. This is the Empowerista interview series on Business Rockstars. I'm Alex Worley and we'll be right back.
One step away from homelessness being that paycheck. I was just one paycheck away. So when I got there on Friday, no paycheck. There was probably another 14 people standing outside the front door who had the same conversation I had with my boss. He had skipped town, gone. And I had called my landlord and said, I can't pay rent. This is what happened. He said, I already gave you 30 days. I can't give you another. And that was literally, you know, day one of going into homelessness. I was in Las Vegas. I was on the streets. I didn't have a couch to sleep on or friends. I had a couch at the time. I didn't have a car. My car got repoed, so I couldn't sleep in my car. I literally slept in abandoned buildings and basically ate wherever I can find food, which included, you know, dumpsters and garbage cans. My mom was like my ace in the hole. Yeah, I expected her to say what like most moms would say, which was, you know, don't worry about it. We'll buy you a plane ticket back to Jersey. You can sleep in your old bedroom. I'll make you a cup of soup, whatever, right? And she didn't say those things. Instead, she said, why don't you just go find a shelter? And very next call was to Eric, which was my last boss, my boss from years prior to. And he essentially said, I have this office space, and this office space is very tiny. I was thinking about starting a new business, but I'm not doing it now. The best thing about this office space, because it was so tiny, was that all the utilities were included. So I had electricity, but what was really cool is I had this really, really old desktop computer on a table that's like six foot table that had internet access because utilities were included. So I took this opportunity to spend 24 hours a day online, creating a resume, submitting it to a job application, and being on Craigslist all day long, being on Monster all day long. And there was a lot of rejection, a ton of rejection. And it was all based on surface level. It was based on how I looked. When I walk in and people saw me, obviously I looked homeless. When I walked into the lobby, they'd come running out from behind the receptionist desk and go, hey, you can't come in here. I'm like, but I'm here for the job. Sure you are. You can't come in here. I forgave her for everything, basically. And what I look back on it now, just knowing that she had to do exactly what she had to do for me at that time. And today what I do is I extend that opportunity to others who are in the exact same position that I was 3 years ago.
There's always something else to be done and more you'd like to achieve. So how do you keep your day running efficiently without being overrun? Here are a few easy steps to effectively run your day as an entrepreneur. I'm Alex Worley with a Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, calm the brain. Meditation or a mindfulness practice is an essential workout for the mind. It only takes 10 to 20 minutes in the morning to practice and can really help you manage your day and your life more effectively. Number two, stay organized. If you aren't an organized or punctual person, then get the help you need to become one. This can be with an organization app or by hiring someone part-time to assist you with the task, time, and calendar management. For the Business Rockstars podcast, go to play.it. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
It's amazing, but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE.
844-Welcome back to the Empowerista interview series on Business Rockstars. I'm continuing my conversation with Danica Breisha, founder and CEO of Model Meals. So we were talking about social media and how you feel a lot of freedom when it comes to posting because all you have to do is be yourself. Mm-hmm. And that is a lot easier said than done for a lot of the people watching and listening. Did you always feel comfortable just putting your life out there?
You know, it's interesting. I don't know where that came from. I think I found a lot of my self-worth and self-growth when I got into the plus-size modeling industry, and I finally felt like enough for the first time in my life. And I felt like, oh, I'm okay exactly as I am. You know, I'm almost 200 pounds. I'm 5'10", and most women I saw in the media were a lot smaller than me and looked a very different way. And so I gained a lot of confidence through that, and I realized that when I shared that and I shared about my eating disorder and I shared about the pains I'd gone through, it actually brought people closer. It actually, I got more positive feedback. And so I wasn't doing it for the positive feedback, but I realized that the more I shared my humanity and my humanness with people, the more connected I felt and the bigger my community grew because so many of us just want to feel not alone.
People crave that realness and that vulnerability.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's out there a lot more now and hopefully for the right reasons in most places. But I just think that's what's been super cool. And on my tour, I just got back from a 10-month tour with our women's events. And I learned how much women are craving community and how much we're craving just like-minded people to not feel alone. We're all going through really similar stuff, but quietly.
Yeah. Is there any strategy behind your social media in the sense that you like to only stick to wellness topics or maybe it's a few other topics? Any strategy behind it? Or is it just like whatever is on your heart that day?
So Model Meals, I think we have more of a strategy too. Uh-huh. You know, obviously we're sharing. But for my personal page, no. That's the truth. I've gone through moments where I was a lot more sort of
Planned out.
But for me, it didn't. I like to do things when I'm inspired. And the truth is, you know, the last few months for me, as I got back from tour, I was super burnt out. So I haven't been sharing as much. And I don't really do paid partnerships. It's not something I'm closed off to. But I just, for me, it's just not typically something that is aligning. And so, and I think it's a great thing for people. That's how so many of these influencers create content. But for me, I just would rather tap into when I feel inspired and I feel inspired inspired, that I have something to share that could value other people, I share it. And if I don't, I don't. And I interact in my DMs and that sort of stuff. So,
sure.
Yeah, I just share little moments of my day. But sometimes I have to be like, okay, you need to like streamline. I don't know.
Well, like you said, you have the strategy for Model Meal. So you kind of get the best of both worlds. Yeah. You get one where you can just be inspired, one where you're a little bit more strategic. Yeah. How much of a hand do you have in your Model Meal's social media?
So we have a marketing person now. I ran the social media for the first year and a half, I would say, as we started the business. And then as it grew, we brought someone on to sort of help with that. So I oversee things, but I have the best team. They're so good. They get the vision. They understand. So I would say the thing that I'm constantly saying in those meetings is, human, 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 human. Like, I really want to tell human stories. I don't want it to be such like salesy. I want our page to be a place where people can learn. Our slogan is modeling how to live and eat cleaner. It's all about education. It's Model Meals. So it's, for me, it's how do I share recipes? How do I make this? If someone can't afford our meals, how can we give them something, a way to experience the benefits in a way that's more accessible to them? Or how can I tell the story of someone who's changed how they ate and it changed their life? So for me, it's not so much, here's our business, buy our meals. It's much more about
never works.
Yeah, right. It's about how do I tell stories that hopefully spark light in other people.
Yeah, and like you said, the key word being human stories. And so you gave the example of featuring maybe customers. Give me another example of how you really humanize your brand.
You know, I think we've started to learn about different groups of people who are using our product. So one is new moms or people or expecting moms. You think about your, you know, what, how much, I can't even imagine the amount of energy and effort that takes. Then you have a new baby. So a lot of new moms we have. So we'll tell those stories and how they're using them, whether right before they give birth, right afterwards as they're recovering, sort of that postpartum phase. We'll tell the stories of our employees. Some of my employees have the most powerful stories, have come to work for us, have lost 50 pounds, have totally changed their lives. So we'll tell employee stories, just kind of anything, anyone who's willing to share comes on and educates. And same with some of these Whole30 coaches who've struggled with disordered eating and use this to sort of, you know, heal themselves. So a little bit of everything.
Yeah. And it takes the focus off the product and more so on the results and like the magic that can happen, the lifestyle that you can have, how you can feel more confident, have more energy.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what people want and what resonates with people.
And that's what I've said to my team. I said, if one day everyone has learned how to create this for themselves and we no longer sell meals, then we've done our job, you know? So sure, I would love, you know, I like to make a living and I like to provide these. And I think it really helps people to like in their life when they're super busy and saves them time and energy. But for me, it's just about helping people eat cleaner and educating and making it accessible and not so perfectionism based too, because I think that's something we see in the wellness community as well.
Totally. So you mentioned your team, and building a great team is so crucial in order to scale, and especially someone like you who is doing a lot of things. I'm sure your team is everything. So take me back to that time where you knew it was time to grow your team so you so they could be more hands-on. You could be, you obviously still be the visionary, be the CEO, absolutely, but you didn't have to be so in the weeds day-to-day stuff.
So you know, the tricky thing with that is you have to get to a point where you make the business makes enough money to pay the person, right?
Yeah.
So it was very slowly that, you know, it started as founders and then we hired our first chef. And it was like, oh my gosh, we have an employee, right? And it just trickled like that. And then when I went to leave on tour, we hired an operations director who sort of stepped in to run the show when I left. And I came back and I realized he was so much better at that job than I was, you know? And so that's one of my biggest pieces of advice is to hire people who are smarter than you. And I really believe that there's this sort of myth of hard work and hustle and not sleeping and being miserable that just isn't true. I think you can build a life and a business exactly how you want to build it. So people might look at it and look at how I run my business and say, well, she's not there all the time and she's traveling and whatever. But they don't understand that I can be a part of that remotely sometimes. And I can be in the kitchen a few times a week like I am and be with the team. And it's just this perfect balance. And self-care comes right back into that. Because for me, if I take an hour or 2 hours every day and practice self-care, then I serve my team so much better, right? So for me, I'm about quality over quantity. I don't care. I'm not tracking people's hours and sitting over their shoulder and having my employees just be there to be there. If you get your work done, fine, leave. I don't want you to miss your kids' thing. I don't want you to miss holidays or special occasions. I'd like to take that culture that I've built for myself and that I desire for myself and put it into my business as well. So
it takes a tremendous amount of trust.
You know someone's character, you know. And so for me, that's just been a really big part of the hiring process. And I'm not always right. And I'm always also not always the person hiring people. Mm-hmm. So I just try to tap into that. But I think that we provide a really loving culture. I also have really adopted the idea that not everyone's going to be with us forever, and that's okay. I learned something from my operations director. He said, let's build this business in a way and provide an environment where they leave Model Meals and they say, I really grew in that position. I really learned a lot, and I'm taking that with me to the next job or the next thing.
It sounds like you just have an attitude of service all around. Service of your customers, service of your employees. You've just built a beautiful business and really appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing your journey.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. This has been the Empowerista Interview Series. I'm Alex Worley, and we'll see you next time.
This report is brought to you by Facebook. There are a lot of questions right now on how Facebook works. People are asking, who can see what I share? Why do I see posts from ads? And how does Facebook use the information I share online? Facebook spokesperson Michelle Mandara offers tips on how to improve your experience.
You have control over the content you see and share on Facebook. If you see a post from someone that you aren't really into, you can click snooze and temporarily remove that person. Or if you want to see more photos of your best friend's baby, then click see first so they always appear first in your feed. You will see ads on Facebook since that's what allows Facebook to be free, but you can remove or block ads that you don't like. Our ad preferences allows you to control the ads you see on Facebook.
The app controls show you what apps you've logged into, the information you have shared, and how to remove them. For more, visit facebook.com/help.
Head to court for Enter Clearance Center for up to 70%.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. My guest today is my dear friend, Juvon Langford. He's an international speaker and he's a men's empowerment coach. And he is a phenomenal one at that. Juvon, it's great to have you, brother.
Yes, sir. Good to be in the house.
So real quick, just kind of tell us, what are you up to these days?
Man, a little bit of everything. I'm traveling the globe.
I know you're all literally. Over. You're speaking.
All over the globe.
You're rocking just people traveling. Everywhere.
Yeah, I'm being a business rock star is what I'm being.
I love it. That's why you're here.
That's why I'm here. That's why I got invited.
That's right.
But just truly traveling the world right now and creating community, creating content, and really conversations that support all people, but specifically men, and breaking through their challenges, their mental barriers, so they can live their legacy and truly create from a place of purpose.
I love that. And you do an amazing job at it. I've seen your videos. I've seen your workshops. I've seen the testimonies from people. You do an amazing job, brother. And that's why you're here on the show.
Thanks, man.
So let's talk about the hardest thing about starting a business. What would you say are three traits or three tips every entrepreneur getting started needs to know?
Go first.
What do you mean by that? Go first.
Go for it. The biggest thing for me is waiting for permission. And I thought that at a certain point, someone was going to tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, it's your turn. Mm. When I realized it's always my turn.
You got to do it.
It's always my turn. Yeah. And it's waiting for permission is the worst thing you can do. I think a lot of us have these visions, these goals, these missions for our lives. And if we don't have the right people around us that are supporting us and pushing us forward, then we sit stuck. And a lot of us are sitting and we should be standing and changing and transforming lives. And so I've really stepped into something that's truly rewarding, it's fulfilling, and it's also been something that's, it's like a dream.
Yeah.
Honestly, brother.
So you've stepped into your dream. That's trait number one is you got to just do it. Right? You got to give yourself permission to get started and go Absolutely. After the dream. Yeah. So two more things for getting started in business.
Absolutely. It's passion. Passion is the next big thing I would say, which is the GPS of going for it. So G is go for it, right? Okay. Go first. PSA is passion. The biggest thing is if you're not passionate about it, there's just certain places you won't go in life, right? Passion keeps you up after 1 a.m. Passion wakes you up before 5 a.m.
Passion gets you up when you get knocked down.
Passion gives you it gives you the guts to go into a room and say, listen, this is why you should be in business with me. This is why I'm choosing you, right? Passion gives you the fuel to go places that the normal or the average person wouldn't go. Yeah. And that's something that's truly pushed me forward. I created a workshop in LA. It went phenomenally well. I had 12 guys in the room, and now I'm traveling the globe with this workshop. That's passion.
I love that.
Right? It's just something that I can't really explain. You got to be a little delusional. You know, you got to have a little
delusion. You got to be a little crazy. Yeah.
A little delusion never hurt nobody, you know? So being delusional is a big thing, you know?
Okay. So go first. Passion number three.
S is... This is something that
I lay it down. What's the S?
This is something that let me just it's so important. Mm. This is the secret ingredient. The secret ingredient to any success. Any successful person would tell you that this is a huge part of it. Specificity is being specific, right? Specificity supports you in knowing where you don't have to go anymore. So we're going to the lane. We know we don't need this. We stay the course. And when you're specific, the universe, it honors specificity. Right? Things will come. I want to make more money. Okay. Or someone will say, I have a coaching client. And he said, I want to make enough money. Enough money for what? I want to pay my bills and my house. And I just want to make enough to do this. And I'm like, are your bills paid? You know, is your family safe? Or you're getting exactly what you're asking for.
Yeah.
Specificity. Another story, a young lady who is dying to be married. She said, she goes to a psychologist. She goes, I've been asking for a husband. I just want to get married. I just want a husband. She goes, and every guy that I meet, every guy I go on a date with, they're all married because she's been asking for a husband. So it's important that we be specific and know that what we ask for, it will come and it'll come expeditiously. And so I think getting clear and being as specific and as pointed and directed as possible with your vision, with your mission, is going to support you in really getting to arriving at that place.
How do you find your purpose in your business though? Because, you know, yeah, you can be passionate about something, but I see people that have passion, they don't have purpose.
Yeah.
So how do you find your purpose? I think personally, the foundation of everybody's purpose should be built on two pillars, growth and contribution. Growth, meaning constantly finding ways to serve your clients in a greater way and always figuring out how you can become a better version of yourself. Mm-hmm. Contribution, meaning how can you figure out how you can constantly give back and serve somebody or something that's bigger than yourself. And I think that's the foundation of purpose. And then you can get really clear on what your specific purpose is. You were talking about specificity, right?
Yeah.
Tying it in. How do you get specific on what your purpose is?
I think it's discovering and playing in the realm of what lights me up. For me, I love traveling. I just love getting on planes and buses and taxis and horses. I just love that because I'm learning, right? I'm such a student of life. I also love people. I love connecting with people, right? And one of my greatest fears growing up was connecting with men because I had no dad. I had no brothers. It was all females. And so I didn't know how to really establish this relationship. And so I've taken all three of those things and I've created a workshop that allows me to travel the globe and connect with men. Wow. Right?
So you got specific
those
and you
things
made it
light me up. And I got super specific, but it's a journey as well as being gentle with yourself along the journey. And for me, getting specific and really creating that passion and really going first and going the distance, it's about relationships. And what I want to say to anybody who's watching is a lot of people are focusing on the money. It's not about the money. Focus on the movement. Focus on the people. Focus on the impact. Focus on the service. And everything else will come rushing your doorstep. And for me, that's exactly what I'm experiencing right now. I've been so focused outward on serving people and increasing my capacity, creating products, services, workshops that support people in safe spaces where they go where they wouldn't normally go. Mm. And now they're discovering who they are. They're digging deeper and they're getting that clarity of mind, right? They're building their awareness. They have more choices. And then ultimately, they're producing results. And what I'm doing right now for myself and also teaching others is living life based on results.
I love that. Juvon says, look inward first, become your best self, and everything outside of that will take care of itself. Juvon Langford is my guest right now. He's a men's empowerment coach and a phenomenal international speaker. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Again, my guest right now is Juvon Langford. It's good to have you on the show, brother.
Thanks for having me, brother.
So entrepreneurship. It's something that I feel like everybody's trying to do nowadays. Yeah. It's like this trendy thing. It used to not be. It used to mean you didn't have a job. Right. Now entrepreneurship is, hey, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to try to raise money. Yeah. I'm going to try to get a false valuation on my app or my technology. Everyone's trying to become a coach or a guru. So everyone nowadays is trying to get into this space. But what do you think, how important do you think it is to be authentic as an entrepreneur, where nowadays everyone's trying to have false valuations, pretend that they're a guru or an expert when they're in their first year of business, and all this other falseness of being an entrepreneur nowadays with Instagram accounts and pictures and all this, only showing you the stuff they want you to see, the highlight reels. How important is authenticity?
Well, it's everything. And honestly, it won't last. Anybody who's out there trying to become something that they're not built to become, it'll always fall apart. It'll always fall apart. People will always find their way at the exit. They don't belong in the room. Whether that's in your life, whether it's in business, they don't belong there. It won't happen. Another thing is authenticity. When you're not authentic, what happens is some people have a strong will and others have a strong won't. And those who don't have that will to go the distance within that realm, they don't have the tools, they don't have the tips, they don't have the wherewithal to push through, they'll make their way out the room. So it's okay. I learned to, in the beginning for me, I used to be like, what are they doing here? This doesn't feel good. They shouldn't be here. And I was always projecting and focusing on them. But I've learned to stay in my own lane. So I don't worry about anybody else being inauthentic. I focus on me and diving deep and really discovering who I am and how I can be a better or bigger contribution to other people.
I love that, brother. Yeah. We got a guy, Steve. Steve's with us right now.
Okay.
Steve says, I've got a 9-to-5 job. I've got an idea. I've got passion. I've got purpose. But how can I get started? How can I go out and make this a reality? Because I've got my 9-to-5 job. It's what pays my bills. And I'm barely surviving financially. I've got maybe a couple $100 or a couple $1,000 in the bank right now. I don't really like what I do. It pays the bills. But I've got this deep burning desire to go out and turn this idea and my passion into a monetary business. But I'm uncertain and I'm afraid of what happens if I cut the cord.
Right.
What do you say to Steve?
Yeah, I say, well, come here, Stevie. Get over here, buddy. I say, Steve, what lights you up? I'd ask him that. And he'd tell me. And at that point, I would tell him, what are the prices that you're paying by not living that? And we go deeper into that. Because people don't understand how much they're robbing the people in their life by not being in alignment with why they're here. Right? We don't fully comprehend the prices people in our lives and that we are personally paying by not being in alignment. We're missing out on a lot of things. We're not having what we came for as a direct result of not doing the work it takes to discover the gift, discover the purpose. I didn't know that I want to be a men's empowerment coach or international speaker. I grew up in a household in foster care where there was more month than money. You know, we never really struggled or wanted for anything because I was always provided, but we didn't have much. I never thought that I could travel, that I'd be on, that someone would care what I'm doing in 18 months. I never thought that would be the case, you know, but I stood the course. I did the things that produce results daily. I surrounded myself with champions. I put in the work. I went within myself. I learned how to be alone and knowing that when I am with myself, everywhere that I go, I'm never lonely because I bring me everywhere that I go. And so I've learned little tips and tools and nuggets and I've read books and I've surrounded myself with champions, with rock stars in business and in life. And it has supported me in transforming this thing called the mind. The mind is so precious and what we tell it, what we how we speak to it influences how we show up in the world. And I just have learned to be gentle with myself and to be able to be understanding and to come from compassion versus confusion. We choose confusion so we don't have to do anything about it, you know? So a lot of people, I think, for me, ultimately, it's about living life based on results. It's about growing my awareness so that I have more choices and ultimately can change and transform the world, everybody I come into contact with.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks for having me, brother.
My man. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
An entrepreneur has so little time to convince anyone they are the real deal. Here are some ways to help you pitch your business. I'm Alex Worley with a Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, be prepared. The way you conduct yourself when the tough questions come flying from all directions can determine the outcome of your pitch for better or worse. Number two, get to the point. With adult attention spans maxing out anywhere from 8 seconds to 20 minutes, presentations that fail to capture interest immediately and sustain it through the critical parts have a slim chance of winning.
Number three, be real. We've all learned lessons, turned around a bad situation, and found inspiration in other success. The powerful messages we learned from these stories are what make a business pitch real and the pitcher trustworthy to an audience. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free, no credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
A new poll says more Americans approve of President Trump than they do the big media. That's why millions are tuning in to Newsmax TV, America's new conservative channel. On Newsmax TV, see Bill O'Reilly, Pat Buchanan, Alan Dershowitz, Mike Reagan, and more. Bill O'Reilly's no-spin news show is on Newsmax TV. Get it on DirecTV Channel 349, Xfinity 1115, Dish 216, UVerse 1220, Fios 615, and Spectrum. Newsmax TV, real news for real people.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's legal.
Now let's join Mark Lack at the CEO Roundtable.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. This is our CEO Roundtable segment, and joining us right now, we have two amazing entrepreneurs and CEOs. Tell us, who are you and what do you do?
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me. My name is Nancy Soni. I'm the CEO of Filled. We are a technology recruiting firm. We specifically work with tech startups around the country to help them scale engineering, product, and marketing teams.
Pleasure to have you here.
Thanks.
I'm Enon, CEO and founder of Albert. Albert gives simple financial advice and lets you take action right from the app.
I love it. So you have a background in recruiting. I think that that's maybe the best place to get started is so many people nowadays have to look for great talent, but more importantly, be able to retain it. I think that there's a plethora of great talent out there. Some people may not agree with that. I think there's 7 billion people on the planet. There's a lot of talented people out there. The tough thing is getting them on your team and getting them to actually stay, because in addition to having so much talent, there's so many opportunities out there. So let's dive in with you. What is the key to finding that great talent and actually retaining it?
I think it really starts with having a really strong understanding of what your culture is. Don't try to be anybody else but yourself and really get a sense for that first. And then figure out, you know, for either utilizing a recruiting firm or actually even starting the recruiting process, get a really strong sense for what does your team look like? What do you want it to look like? And then where are the holes that you want to plug in? And then actually develop the process. Who are you trying to attract? And how do you actually attract them? What, constantly thinking about what you're selling to the potential person who likely is employed. And what's the story? And
where, really, where do you find most of the talent? I mean, you've been in this space for over 17 mm-hmm. years. So where is most of the talent? I know that it deviates depending on the industry and the type of people. But is there specific types of places that you look for great talent?
Well, currently, the talent is all employed.
So much of
what you should be doing as an entrepreneur is constantly getting out there and networking, talking to people, recruit from your own employees, meaning where are they coming from? Who do they know? Start there first. And then if you're utilizing recruiting firms, all we do is reach out to people on a regular daily basis.
So. Well, I know he said he was looking for an engineer, so you'll probably go to
we'll talk after this.
We're going to have a great conversation afterwards. You know, I think for me, I think one of the toughest things about the recruiting process is how time consuming. So, you know, just going through my own LinkedIn network and reaching out to people and then one degree out is an amazingly time-consuming process that while you have to do it, takes you away from the rest of your business. And that's, I think, the struggle for the small company, small business.
Well, I both deal with that on a daily basis with clients and then also actually have had to scale my own business. And I will say... it is something that I live and breathe on a daily basis, both from a perspective of helping clients kind of figure out how to allocate the right amount of time. But I think the first 10 to 20 hires that you make at a company are probably the most crucial because they set the dynamic, they set the tone. And if you get that wrong, you end up spending more time dealing with the problems.
Well, I think, you know, recruiting people and maintaining great talent and company culture, those are things that definitely impact your business. From the beginning all the way into the end. But let's shift gears and kind of go into the past here. Do you guys remember what it was like when you started your first business as an entrepreneur and as a CEO? You remember what that was like?
I would say that the number one thing that I wish I was fully self-aware of, it is very difficult ultimately to understand this, but is to know it's going to take time. And yes, you knew it was going to take time, but it takes... you know, the old adage of 10,000 hours, or it takes 10,000 hours to be good at something. If you're working 15 hours a day, that's roughly over 3 years, right? And so knowing full well that those 3 years need to play out for you to be on a level playing field with the rest of the entrepreneurs and small businesses out there that you're aspiring to be like and competing with is a very difficult thing, I think, to know from the get-go. But if you know that through the process, I think you beat yourself up a little bit less at the different milestones. And have a more reasonable expectation of what to do at any given time and where to go now and into the future. So it's really that self-awareness around how much time it takes. It's not even just the effort. Everybody's going to put in that effort, right? If you're in it, you're in it. You're for the work, but it just takes time.
I love that. So the self-awareness in regards to how long it's actually going to take. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. This is our CEO Roundtable segment. And joining us to give a quick recap, who are you and what do you do?
I'm Nancy Sione, CEO of Filled. And we work with startups around the country to help them recruit engineering, product, marketing, and sales talent.
I'm Enon Ravid, CEO and founder of Albert. And we do simple financial planning via a mobile app.
What was one of the biggest mistakes or failures you had? Could be any time. What was the big mistake or failure you had? But more importantly, what was the lesson that you learned from it?
I will say just lessons that I learned being a better boss, really understanding how to manage people that are in different places in their lives and really understanding what motivates them and how to get the best out of them. And understanding that there's really little that you as a human being can do to change another person. So that makes hiring even more important. It's hard to motivate someone who isn't already internally motivated. Yeah. And therefore, looking for grit in individuals tends to be something that we tend to...
Yeah, I'd echo that. I mean, my personal bias out there is that the talent pool, you alluded to it, is huge. And I think the dispersion amongst talent is a lot tighter than people make it out to be. I don't think, you know, people always talk about that rock star engineer. Sure, there are wizards out there, but the difference made by the extra, perhaps not so measurable IQ, who even knows how you measure that, it, to me, is minute versus the difference made by somebody who's there just for the work and is totally gung-ho about what you're doing. Find that. I think we are at times as people persuaded by pedigree and by, you know, somebody comes in and said they were, you know, this guy was the top engineer at, you know, Twitter or whatever. You know, he built this amazing search algorithm. At the end of the day, if he doesn't or she doesn't care about what you're doing or cares 75% about what you're doing, they are going to perform far worse than somebody with a fraction of their talent, so to speak.
So the key is making sure that you've got everybody in alignment with the vision, the purpose, and everything the company values.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, not everybody necessarily sees the same way the company does, right? Some people may not value, in our case, you know, simple financial planning. It may just be boring to some people. And if that's the case, that's totally fine. Because again, this isn't the sexiest topic out there, let's be honest, right? But some people really find it interesting. Some people really think that they can make a difference. And those are the people, talent aside, that can actually drive us forward a lot faster.
I appreciate you guys for coming on the show and sharing some of yours with us. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.